for that, Miss Diana. We're going to do something a little different tonight. You do not have an outline, and neither do I. And that could be one of two things. This could be the shortest service of all times, or the alternative, I don't think it's going to be. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, if you will. And I brought my journal along. I hope that you have a journal. I hope that you're using the booklet, Renew booklet, that I gave you at the beginning of the year to get some order. But it's always a good thing to have something to write on after that. There's not really enough space in there for a lot of people who genuinely want to take advantage of some time to write. And it's always a good thing. I found a good thing to write down how God is dealing with you. Sometimes the reason God put this on my heart is I think a lot of people want to have really good devotions. How many would say, I'd love to have really good devotions? Okay, I think all of us do. And I think a lot of us either don't know what that means, or we don't know how that means, or what to do to make it really good. We could say really effective, okay? And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know that my devotions are perfect, but I know this, the Lord speaks to my heart and I listen. And when I speak to him, if I don't know what to say, oftentimes I'll write what's on my heart. And it forces me to be even really a little more honest than if I just say some things. Spending time with God is important. How many would agree with me there? Okay. And if we're going to spend time with him, we might as well make it effective. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time. So going into your time with the Lord, I want you to think about, what do you want out of it? Okay? In fact, you could take maybe the first couple of lines in your notes tonight and just say, write it down. This is what I want out of my quiet time tomorrow. Just think about it. Just take 30 seconds and think, okay, what do I want out of my devotions? What do I want out of them? What is it that I need? What am I trying to accomplish? Just take 30 seconds, and then I'm going to have you turn to a passage of Scripture, and I want to talk to you just a little bit about some principles here tonight. What do I want out of my devotions in the morning? Okay? What do I want out of them? Okay. Now, how many would say, Pastor, it's interesting that you're talking about this tonight, because we're all human beings. Okay? We all have been regular and irregular in any number of our parts of our Christian life at any given time. How many would say, it's interesting that you're talking about spending time with the Lord tonight? I could use some encouragement in that area in my life. How many would say that? Okay, good. Everybody, praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 9, look at verse 23. Before you read it, I want you to look up here. My Bible, I never do this, never. I never, 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 never do this. I do not recommend this. I've heard of people saying, I don't know where to read, so I just go, oh, okay, that's where I'm going to read today, and that becomes their devotion. I never do this, okay? And I didn't do it today. What happened was I picked up my Bible, and as I was getting something ready, I decided to try to use two hands at once, and I just flipped open my Bible, and it opened to this passage, my devotion Bible. And as it did, the part that was highlighted just kind of caught my eye, and so I read it, and it arrested me, and so I stopped, and I thought, but I have all this other stuff. I got to stay on schedule. And the Lord said, I just want you to go back and read it again. And so I went back, and I read it again, and it arrested me some more, and I stayed there. And I read it over and over and over, and I went back and read the context of it. And it led into a wonderful time with the Lord, okay? I don't ever do that. I never do that. I don't read it, and I don't plop it open and say, well, that's where I'm scheduled, because I think systematically reading through the Word of God is the best way to read the Word of God, all right? But today, I did this, and here's what I want you to understand. It's not as much about the schedule as it is about the Spirit of God in you. So it's a waste of time if I have devotions and get nothing, as much as it is not me not having the devotions to begin with. Okay? Now, I'm not saying don't read your Bible if you're not going to get anything out of it. It'd be better for you to be here and fall asleep than be at home and fall asleep. Okay? It'd be better for you to read your Bible and fall asleep than just fall asleep on the pillow. Okay? At least make the effort. But if you're going to make an effort, why not get something out of it? I mean, if I'm going to go fishing, I might as well catch a fish. I want to catch a fish. So I want to get into God's word, and I want to get something because it's the most important something I can possibly have all day long. All right? Now, here are the two verses that arrested my soul this morning, and I want to talk to you about it. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise men, verse 23, let not the wise men glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful passage of Scripture? The Bible says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time that I got to spend with you today. And Lord, it is a privilege to know you. I'm so grateful to be saved tonight, and I'm so grateful for the blood of the Lamb of God. And Lord, by that blood, I can come to you, and as I do tonight, I ask that you just help me to share my heart with these folks. Lord, I've written some things down, but I'll yield to your Spirit, and I'll do whatever you want me to do and say. So I ask that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, so that I could be filled with your Spirit as a vessel unto honor, and you would preach through me, Lord, and really just teach through me these principles. I know what you did in my heart today, and I want to be a help as a pastor of this church. I want to be a help to your flock. And Lord, I want to help equip the saints for the work of the ministry, but I also want to help them grow. I want to help them take steps toward knowing you more, because I know that that's what we're supposed to glory in. And so I pray that when we leave here, we'll have a better time with you tomorrow as a result of it. And Lord, that you will renew our devotion time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people could say that, and there may be people in here that would say that they know somebody famous. Somebody may know somebody infamous. I don't know. You may know someone on death row. I don't know. By the way, did you hear Charlie Manson's in the hospital? He was in the hospital a week or so ago. They didn't want to confirm or deny the fact that he may be dying finally. But anyway, I just don't know why I said that. Somebody infamous. But you may know somebody. You may know, let's say you know, somebody could legitimately say, I know Steph Curry. Or I know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And that would mean something to you. And I suppose there's a benefit to having somebody famous that you know. Somebody could say, I know the president-elect. And that means something to them, and that's something special. And they you could even boast in that. You know, all of the things that are going through now, all of his cabinet being filled, and all the stuff that's going on in the Senate hearings and things like that. And you know, the one guy he chose to be the attorney general is they were kind of highlighting him because he was behind him from the start. It was like, hey, I've known this guy, I've been behind this guy, and that's something special to him. Do you remember the old commercial? When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listen, or people listen. There's something about name dropping that we just don't mind. We get into a crowd of people and maybe have some familiarity with people. And have you ever heard of, oh yeah, he's a friend of mine. And you ever heard of this? And he's a friend of mine. And I used to do that all the time. I get pulled over. Oh, do you know Brother Holly? He told me, he warned me about, you know, going this fast. And you know, I don't use Brother Gridley very often because I normally get the ticket for some reason. But when I mention Brother Hawley's name, it's always something nice that happens. But you know what I'm talking about? Depending on who you know, there's some kind of benefit in the value of the person of the name that you're speaking. And I suppose that goes for everybody. You could know a famous athlete and you could kind of, you know, use that to your advantage. I was in Hawaii a couple of years ago, and I actually met Jerry Rice, and he was a jerk to me, and his handler was a jerk to me. And I didn't care to ever talk to him ever again after he was that way. And I thought, who are you? You're just a guy like I am. Just because you're worth like $65 million doesn't mean anything. But you know what I mean? I mean, for some people, that's a big deal. I remember, you guys remember the old show White Shadow? The old basketball show White Shadow? How many remember that? It's an old basketball show, white guy, white coach of an all-black high school basketball team. And it was this whole big deal. Well, the principal was a black principal of that school down in L.A., and I was in the Northridge Mall with my sister, and she was getting something, and I looked over, and that guy was standing there at the counter with his wife, like buying some jewelry or something. And I looked over, and I was like, that's the guy from White Shadow. And I walked up to him, and I said, hey, aren't you? And he said, yes. I said, can I have an autograph? And he put his autograph down on a piece of paper for me, and I just thought, I don't know where it is today. It didn't mean a whole lot to me, apparently. But there's a lot of people that I have met. And my wife and I, a couple years ago, got to meet Tony Romo and had dinner with him, actually. We had dinner with Tony Romo. We were over here. He was over there. But we were in the same restaurant. I always like to say that. I text all my friends, I just had dinner with Tony Romo. And then I told the picture, that's him over there. This is my wife and I. We could boast about a lot of things. And God says, if you want to boast about something, boast that you know me. Now, that's the key of renewal. Is renewing my, according to this passage, the knowledge and the understanding of who God is so that it affects me. Because to be honest, here's how much of a privilege it is. One day people will stand before Jesus and he'll say, sorry, I didn't know you. That's the difference. Jesus is going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But Lord, we've prophesied in thy name. I never knew you. But we did all these miracles and we gave all this money and I've been this good. But I didn't know you. God said, if you want to glory in something, glory in the fact that you know me. Because it's worth something. Jesus said, oh, there's going to come a day when I'm going to have to regretfully say, yes, you called me Lord, but you did not do what I said. It's vitally important that a person know God. Not just about God, but know him. Know who he is. Know what he likes. And know what he doesn't like. What are his interests? Where is he involved? And the acknowledgement of all of that is life-changing. Because it doesn't say, notice, let him that glorieth glory in this. It doesn't just say that he knoweth me. Notice what it says. It's that he understandeth and he knoweth me. That it's not just a head knowledge. That it's something that drives me. You know, the more you know someone, the closer you are to them. The more time you spend with somebody communicating, you are more willing to share your heart with them. You're more willing to be open. The more time you communicate to one another, the closer you become. For instance, once you understand what someone likes and what they dislike, you begin to avoid those things that they dislike. You begin to want to appeal more to what they love. Here, God says, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, notice, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, when you let someone into your heart, you deepen that relationship. The more you open your heart, the more intimate you become with an individual, you feel like you can trust them more. So you share more details with. You speak very candidly with them. Because you know the information that you're sharing is important to you. And because they understand you as well, they get it. They take what's important to you and they own it as their own. And they protect it. they cherish it. When I got saved, I let God into my heart because I knew I could trust him. It's a tragedy when people shut the Lord out after they let him in. The tragedy of the Christian experience is in ignoring him. God forbid that we should blame him for something. That we should walk away from him. I don't think I've ever purposely ever been angry at God. I don't know if you have either. I don't know if being angry at circumstances or angry that they happened actually equate to being angry at God. I hope I haven't ever been angry at God. But I can think of some times when I've ignored him. I can think of some times when I didn't feel like talking to him, and quite frankly, the loneliest times of my life have been those looking back. You know what I thought about today is one should never ignore that which is most needful. He holds my very breath in my hand. I probably shouldn't ignore that. I probably shouldn't ignore the fact that every time I move and my very existence is actually in him, all my being is held in the palms of his hands. God says, and that's what you're supposed to glory about, that I've got you. That's part of understanding. That's part of who God is. We live and move and have our being in him. We know that he created us and then he bought us back after we walked away. And that's a bond that he made. He said, look, I found you when you were dirty and nasty and bloody all over in the desert, and I picked you up and I've nursed you like a mother hen or chicks, and I've loved and cherished you. And that's an everlasting love. In fact, the word loving kindness has to do with his covenant love. It's a never-ending love. It's the love that I cannot be separated from because I am in Christ. That's what he's talking about. He said, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Now, I don't suppose that I will ever, this side of heaven, fully understand all of God. But I sure have a responsibility to try to understand what he has revealed to me. And that's what that book is. It's the revelation of the mind of God that he wants us to have. Not all of it. You'll never have all of it. Because if you had all of it, you'd be God. What he has for us is for his glory and for us to be glorifying him by. All has not been revealed yet, but what has been revealed, I must endeavor to understand and know. And that's what makes all the difference, knowing God. Once I know him and begin to know him more, and I spend that close time saying, Lord, what is it that you like? What is it that you don't like? Because, Lord, I don't want to do anything that offends you. If you have a best friend, you do your level best to be honest, to be truthful, to be loving, and to be considerate. The greatest part about that scenario is God's already been that way to me. Though I can't see him, I've seen enough. That's all I need to look at to remember, oh yeah, when I was yet a sinner, Jesus died for me. Now what I'm supposed to do is reciprocate that relationship. I'm supposed to be considerate. I'm supposed to be loving back. I'm supposed to keep, in fact, myself in the love of God. And that love of God that reaches down inside me and is shed abroad in my heart, once I know him and understand him, that changes who I am. Couples will get married and later on down the road get a little frustrated, and the wife will say something perhaps like this, well, I just thought I could change him. It's not the wife's job to change an individual. It's not the husband's job to change the wife, nor the wife the husband. It's God's job to change us. but we have to do the volunteering. We have to do the spiritual exercise of saying, Lord, if I understand who you really are and what you like and dislike, then that changes things for me. It changes who I am. It changes where I go. It changes what I do. It changes the way I respond. It changes the way I think. The things that he delights in is what he works in the earth. The Bible says in verse 24, he works. The word exercise is to work, to come about. He works loving kindness. He works judgment. And he works righteousness in the earth. And then he says, for in these things I delight. He delights in working them. Watch. He delights when we let them work through us. Because after all, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That verse tells me of what his pleasure is, so that's what he wants out of me. He doesn't want those things that he hates. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination. Everybody heard that list before? He says, look, you want to know what I hate? Here's what I hate. You want to know what's an abomination? Here's an abomination. You want to know what I love? Here's what I love. And what I love the most is when those things are being worked in you. You want to glory in something? God says, glory in this, that you know me and that you understand me. Let me give you three quick thoughts and we're out of here. With a lot of verses. Write these three things down. I'm going to give you three straight things. You can write them down. Number one, what you need to know. Number one, what you need to know. Okay? Leave a little bit of room under there. Number two, who you need to know. And number three, why you need to know them. Number one, what you need to know. Number two, who you need to know. Probably guessed that one. Number three, why you need to know it. Number one, what you need to know. You need to know this. Money, might, and wisdom cannot help you when you die. Money, might, and wisdom cannot help you when you die. They cannot help you in a trial. They cannot save you. They cannot fulfill you. They cannot sustain you. They cannot satisfy you. That's what you need to know. God says in verse 23, hey, I want you to understand, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, because that's what a wise man does. A wise man glories in his wisdom and says, regardless of what comes about, I ought to be able to outwit, outsmart, and untangle my way by the way I speak. I'll be able to get out of it. I'll be able to brown nose my way here. I'll be able to smooth talk my way out here. I'll be able to get out of this one. Not at the judgment seat of Christ, you won't. Go through a trial and see how far your wisdom takes you. Because the Bible says not to lean on your own understanding. Wisdom will fail you. Money will fail you. Oh, it's a great servant, but it's a horrible master. God says, the wise man says, I can talk my way out of this. I can talk my way out of the problem, and I can sue some things. The rich man says, I can buy it out. Money makes everything better. If I feel down, I'll just go buy something. If someone's mad at me, I'll buy them something. I'll be able to leverage my posterity by my prosperity. I'll be able to do that. God says, actually, no. Don't glory in your riches. Don't glory in your wisdom. And then he says, don't glory in your might. That's what strong men do. They say, well, I'll just get through it. Now, you got to think of the context of what God's saying here. God's speaking to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is the weeping prophet to Israel. They have decided, if you look back previously in the chapter, they have decided not to know God. We refuse. That's what they said. I don't want to know him, and I don't care what's happening. And so all that we're trying to do by way of making a living and getting our own wisdom, and we're going to get through it on our own, God says, actually, you're not going to get through it on your own. You're going to need something, and it's going to have to be me. If you want to boast in that, if you want to boast in anything, boast in that you know me and that you understand me, and that will change your ways. Then things will change. So what I need to know is that I cannot trust myself. I'm not supposed to lean on my own understanding. I cannot depend on any of these things to save me, to fulfill me, to protect me. Wise men do it of their wisdom, strong men of their might, rich men of their riches, none of which can help, save, protect in the day of judgment. Proverbs 11:12 says, the riches help not in the day of the death. What I need to know. Secondly, who do I need to know? Well, I need to know God. But what do you really know of him? Remember what I said, what do you want out of your devotions? Maybe, nobody raised their hand, maybe one person hopefully said, I want to know God. If you did, bingo. Because that's what it's all about. It's to know him, to understand what he likes, what he doesn't like, and leave there doing everything in your power, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all because of what you know. Let me ask you this. Do you know him as the one true God? Do you know what he likes in your life? Do you know what he dislikes in your life? Because it's not for me to tell you, it's for him. You say, well, why is that? Because you're his. If you're born again and you know for sure if you died right now, and I hope that you do, I hope that God doesn't say, I'm sorry, I didn't know you. Because in John chapter 17, Jesus said, I have come that they might know you, the one true God, and me as the one Savior. That's what he said. If I know Christ, Jesus said, I know the Father. That's what he said. In John 14, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The next three verses detail that he is God, and he explains it to Philip. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That should suffice. But do I know him as the Savior? Do you know him as the one that saves? Do you know he's the one thing that you can boast about? Is he the one thing that you can trust in? Is he the one thing that you can brag about? Do you know God wants you to know all about him? But I will tell you this, he already knows all about you. Can I ask you why it only goes one way? Why don't people want to know more about God? Because they know inevitably what's going to happen. God's going to sit me on his lap and say, I need to tell you about some things that I don't like. Here's some things that I do like, and I'm going to bless you for those. But the things that I don't like, I want you to clean up. When your kids go out and play and they get muddy and dirty, don't you let them come back in the house? My mom used to say, you're going to take your clothes off in the garage. You ain't coming in my house dirty. I'd be like, my mom. It's like, I don't care. Change in the garage. I'll bring you some underclothes. Don't come in this house all dirty. So I'd have to change outside in order to be able to come inside. Sometimes that's what we need to do before we go to God. That's what I'm talking about. You ever go to the Lord without thinking how you're dressed? Oh, I don't mean like this. I mean like this. Do you ever just go to the Lord and start praying and asking, and next thing you know, it's like 20 minutes and all you've done is ask? And not one time did you say, Lord, I love you. I'm so glad that you love me. I'm so thankful that you even allow me to come into your presence. And I got so carried away with asking some things, I didn't even recognize who you are. I didn't stop and just praise you for who you are, that you would even allow me to come into the gates of your presence with thanksgiving and then into your courts with praise. I just barged in the door and said, I want, amen, and I walked away. Can I just tell you, that's not devotions. Kicking down the door of heaven and asking and asking and asking is not getting to know God. You cannot boast of that. But it's praying. But it's praying the wrong way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's start there before we ask, God said. Who I need to know is God. Thirdly, why do I need to know it? Because he likes it. He delights. He delights, saith the Lord, in loving kindness. That's his work. His covenant love for his people. He likes justice. He likes it when we do right. He likes judgment. He likes us to step back and say, now, God doesn't like that. He doesn't like what I'm saying. He doesn't like the way I'm responding. He doesn't like where I'm going. So I'm going to refrain from that. That's judgment. That's deciding by God's word. I'm not going to be involved in something that displeases my God. Now, he delights in those who work the same. Love, righteousness, and judgment and wisdom. Okay? Now, let's do a little perusing of Scripture, shall we? Turn to Psalm 103. I started thinking about these words, and I just let my fingers do the walking, and me and the Lord walk through the Scripture together. I want you to read some verses with me. We're going to spend the last 12 minutes or so, 15 minutes, reading the Bible. How's that? And here's the reason why we read it. To know him. To be reminded. To have our knowledge renewed about him. Because you're bombarded with every text, email, phone call, TV show, child coming in, everything you possibly can imagine every single day. And what you're going to have to do is somehow, some way, block all of that out so all you want to know is God. So that you can say, Lord, I don't want any distractions. I want to understand. I want to know why you say what you say over and over again about you. God says, you know, because I want you to know me more. Because the more you know me, the more you'll share with me, the more you'll let me work in you, the more you will work out your salvation, and I'll delight in you even more. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. As we go through here, you may want to start underlining or writing down, he forgives, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with thy loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful. He is gracious. He is slow to anger, and he is plenteous in mercy. He won't always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever, but for right now he is. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Look at verse 1. Then bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's why the way you should be reading the word of God. Let's go back. Let's see why he's so exasperated. Because of what he knows. And he understands it. Go to the next passage in Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Look at verse 7. He is the Lord our God. His judgments, there they are in all the earth. Look at Psalm 106 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. for his mercy endureth forever. Look at verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth, notice the word again, righteousness at all times. Go to Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Look down at verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I stepped back and I started to think to myself, God, why is it that you have to remind me all the time, over and over and over in the Psalms, that you're good? He said, because you forget. You forget that I can't be anything but good. I know all this world is falling apart. I know they're self-destructing, but I am good. And I'm always good, and I don't have anything that changes my mind. I can't sin against my own character, lest I not be God. I have to be good. And I can bank on it. That means, by the way, that all things work together for good. Why? Because our God is good. Look at Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. I stepped back and I said, God, why do you have to remind me over and over again that you're gracious and you're full of compassion? He said, because you forget. Every day you forget that I'm good. Every day you forget that my mercies are new every morning. Therefore, you're not consumed, O you sons of Jacob. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Verse 5, he hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. Now, that's not all, folks. You've got to read the Bible. There's some things that God has written down that he wants you to know, that he wants you to understand and not forget. Turn to Psalm 138. Psalm 136 over and over says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good. Psalm 138 says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. O Lord, chapter 139, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Wait a minute. God said, I want you to delight that you know me. Now he's telling you, I know you. I know everything about you. Why it's necessary. Thou knowest my downsitting. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. But there's not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and lay thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not me, hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Did you see that? My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Now notice the resolution. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Wait a minute. Didn't he already say that he knows everything about him? Didn't he already say that? Watch. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. Why does the psalmist conclude, if God knows everything about me and I know everything and understand about him, why does he conclude, search me? Because I really don't know myself. Because the most deceitful person I live with is me. And just because I may know some things about God doesn't mean that I really know him. Because if I know him, I know what makes him happy. And I know what makes him sad. And if I finally get to the place where I understand that he sees everything that I'm keeping hidden, then I need to know what I've hidden. Cleanse thou thy servant from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins, David said. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know God, you're going to have to spend time with him. You're going to have to spend some time, and it better be an effective time. It better be time where all you want to know is more about him and thinking about what he likes and he dislikes. And then when you start to think about what I may need to pray, you better start here. Search me, O God, because I don't want to offer anything to you that I cannot pray and believe and hope that you're going to answer according to your will. God said, delight, if you're going to boast in something, don't boast about the fact that you're an American. Don't boast about the fact that you know the president or the president-elect. Don't boast about the fact that you may have some kind of possession or some kind of wisdom or some kind of strength. Boast about this, that you know me and that you understand me and that I delight to work loving kindness and justice and judgment, and I like to see it in you as well. Wouldn't that be a great devotion? Wouldn't it be great to go on a pursuit of God and find him? We talked about that Sunday morning, didn't we? If you search for him with all your heart, you'll find him. And what happens after that will be renewal. Father, we sure love you and we thank you for your goodness. God, we read it so much tonight. You're good. On a Wednesday night, we need to be reminded of that. Because 3 days passed, we may have already forgotten. We may have already relapsed into our addiction to selfishness. We may have already fallen off the wagon of our pride. God, now we're here on a Wednesday night and we've been reminded. I'm not supposed to glory in where I get to go or what I may have or who I am, but rather I'm supposed to boast, I'm supposed to glory because I know my God. And it's not just a God. Lord, I've not crafted you. Those that craft the gods have eyes like they, but they see not. Ears have they, but they hear not. And hands have they, but they handle not. Lord, you are the living God, the self-existent, immutable one. Lord, to you I appeal tonight, and I beg of you, wilt thou not revive us again? Wilt thou not touch the heart of every child of God in here tonight by the precious Holy Spirit? And would you please draw us nigh? By the leading of thine hand, would you take us, Lord? You said that you would uphold us with the right hand of your righteousness, that you would always be with us, that you give us reason not to fear but to trust. Lord, for everyone in here that raised their hand that said they need encouragement, God, about their devotions, I pray they're encouraged. Lord, I've given them fuel for that fire that lives inside of them. God, the Holy Spirit craves the Word of God. I pray that we would feed Him. God, renew us, I pray, even this night. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please nobody looking. How many would say,